This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast.
Hello, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I am Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad that you are here with me today. I am also so excited for the guests we have. We have joining us today, Mary Sutherland. Mary, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And I do have to tell everybody listening, Mary and I have been trying to record this for, for definitely weeks.
Ever.
Forever. And so I am just thrilled that we are here today to do this. And I am so excited about what we're going to talk about, because I think when you hear the topic of the conversation we're going to have, you will lean in and you will say, I need to know more about that. But before we get into that, let me introduce Mary to you. I love what Mary's, when you read about her, if you go to her website at marysutherland.com, she'll tell you that women identify with Mary because she has not only survived the road of clinical depression, infertility, adoption, full-time ministry, sexual abuse, childhood trauma, and the daily stress of life, but she has not only survived all of that, she has learned to thrive and find joy in the midst of life's greatest storms. And that's really what we're going to talk about today. Let me tell you a little bit more about Mary before we get into that. Mary is also the co-founder of Girlfriends in God, a conference and devotion ministry for women, working with Sharon James and award-winning composer, musician, author, and worship leader Gwen Smith to encourage and equip women for their life journey. But I cannot leave this out. Mary relishes her ministry also as a wife, a mother to their two children, Jared and Dana, and Mimi to her six grandchildren and soon to be seven. Yes. And Mary says that her goal is just to leave it. Leave it all on the field. And this is such something I identify with Mary, because with, you know, mm-hmm. my husband playing football, we know what it means to leave it all on the field. And you, of course, are talking about the field of life, but, you know, I told our listeners what we're going to talk about today is how to survive, not just survive, but even thrive in the storms of life. And Mary, just reading about what you have survived, I mean, a lot of us we can pick one thing on that list, you know, maybe two, but my goodness, Mary, and I have to say, let me just start here. For you to be talking to people after all that you've come through, for you to talk about thriving in storms of life, it seems like you might go the other direction. I mean, has anyone ever asked you that? Like, wouldn't you grow hardened or cynical or angry? Would that be fair to say after all that you've been through?
Well, I have to say that there are times that I have been angry, but God is used to watching me just throw a fit. This basically started in my childhood. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that for a long time, but it was one crisis after another. Mm-hmm. And it's been that way my whole life and my whole ministry. And so I made a decision a long time ago that I have a choice to make. I can either embrace it and know that God is with me and making me stronger and teaching me something, or I can just rebel against it and shove my fist in his face and stay where I was. And I didn't want to do that. So I chose to embrace the pain and just see what God has for me in that pain. And it's been the basis of my whole ministry for 40 years, my whole ministry. So that's a valid question. And everybody has to make that choice when they encounter situations that are filled with pain. Mm-hmm. My prayer team, I have 23 women on my prayer team. I need every one of them praying all day. And they say my life could make a great reality TV show. Mm. Nobody could imagine or believe that this is real stuff, but it is. And it's our path. Both my husband and mine, but mainly mine. It's the path God has for me. And so I've chosen to embrace it.
And, you know, even just listening to you talk right now, Mary, I hear such peace in your voice. There really is, there's a settledness about how you speak. And it's, to me, it's very difficult to marry the way I hear you speaking with what I just read, with the things that I know you have encountered in your life and really still are. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that you're still, and you've mentioned it, you're still running into situations that would just a lot of times make us think of things, you know, like the word reel comes to mind. We're just reeling because of the situations that we find ourselves in. So I want to ask you practically, what does it look like to make that choice? What, you know, I think we can even sometimes hear, okay, I need to make the choice to embrace this pain and trust Jesus in it, rely on him, lean on him, all of those things. We can hear it and we can know it, but how do you practically apply that? How do you practice that, if you will?
I really believe it's all tied into one very important word, choice. When the older we get, the more we go through, every situation has a choice to make. And we can choose to be bitter or we can choose to be better. And we can use those situations as stepping stones for growth and strength and power. I learned in 95, I crashed and burned for 2 years at the bottom of a pit called clinical depression. And at the bottom of that pit, I learned a lot of things. But one of the most important ones that I learned was that my inner attitude does not have to reflect my outer circumstances. And that's a choice that I must continually make. Does that mean my feelings always catch up with that choice? Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. It's just a choice to obey. And God has honored the choices that I've made that have been right. Some of them at times have been wrong. There are just some things I don't get, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't understand why bad things have to happen to good people and why bad people flourish and seems like their life is blessed. I don't get that, you know, because that's not logical to me. Good people ought to have good things happening to them. And so, you know, there's always a wrestling match with every crisis. And the winner is determined by who makes the right choice. I mean, like in the last 2 weeks, my husband had his 54th heart procedure, which was an ablation. He struggles with AFib. 5 days later, our son had an emergency appendectomy. And 8 days later, I was getting out of the tub and I slid funny and just absolutely wrenched my knee. I could not put any weight on it. So all that happened within that time frame. And as I was trying to get out of the tub, I said, "Seriously, Lord?" And that's the title of my new book, "Seriously, Lord." I'm
is
writing
it really?
It. Yes, I'm working
okay,
on it
I was
going
to say, okay, because I hope it is.
Yes, it really is.
Well, there's a couple of things. So number one, you just explained why it's been so difficult for us to even get an interview scheduled, you know, for us to even show up and do a podcast interview because of the thing.
Good.
But that's a whole nother thing because even in the, and I hope we have time to get to this because in the middle of all of this, you're serving the Lord through ministry. And so that's a whole nother piece of this that I do hope we get to. But what I don't want to pass over too quickly is the way that you just stated, there will be, even in the middle of making the choice to obey, number one, you said your feelings may or may not catch up. So I think that's something we need to note, that obedience doesn't always mean you feel like it. It's a choice.
Oh, right.
But what I loved was to hear you just acknowledge there are things that I don't understand, but I've decided I'm just going to be okay with that. That there, it's not like you made the choice because you had all the answers.
Oh, no.
So talk to me about if you're making the choice, to obey, you're making the choice to be better, not bitter. You're choosing right. these things. And yet there are still unanswered questions really between you and God, right? Because you're you're looking around like, why are bad people flourishing and the ones who love you aren't? Right. And these are questions the psalmist posed as well. Like those things are ringing in my thoughts, but speak a little more to that. Choosing to obey even in the middle of unanswered questions.
Well, my husband said to me once, all of our question marks will be yanked into exclamation points when we get to heaven. And I think that is the walk of faith. Sometimes you'll understand what you're going through. It makes perfect sense. And you can see the future and you know how you got there. And sometimes it's like God just pulled the rug out from under your feet or let your whole world just trample, you know, at your feet. And you're looking around and go, what just happened? Mm-hmm. And that has been happening since I was in elementary school. So I think the choice to obey is just that. It is a choice, regardless of how we feel about it, what we think is right. That's a choice of faith. You know, I love the acronym of faith. I'm sure you've seen it. Forsaking all, I trust him. And that's what we have to make the choice about, is like, I'm forsaking all I understand, all I feel, all what I think is right or wrong. It makes no sense to me, God. But my two favorite words in the Bible are, but God. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of add that to whatever I'm going through. Like all those three things I just mentioned, my husband's heart ablation, our son's appendectomy, my wrenched knee that I couldn't walk on for 10 days, but God. You know, and I could fill that in with, but God loves me. I know that. God wants what's best for me. I know that. So I could go through all, you know, just anything and get to the point where I get to those two words, but God. And so that is really a simple thing, but it's been very helpful to me in this walk.
Okay. So I want to ask you,
okay.
And I do feel like it's personal. So I didn't prep you that I would want to ask you this, but have there ever been times that it was hard to have faith?
Oh, let me see. How many times in the last 24 hours? Yeah. And that's the whole point of faith. It's like I said, we forsake everything that we know to be right or wrong in man term, in logical terms. And it's hard to compare those two things. What we know logically as a human being should be happening, which is absolutely not even parallel. It is the opposite of what God allows to happen. And it reminds me of Job. I mean, Satan came to the father and said, can I mess with the Sutherlands? Mm-hmm. And I want God to be able to say, their faith is solid. Go ahead and mess with them. Just don't touch them. Mm-hmm. And I think of that so often, that the enemy has to get permission to do this. Mm-hmm. And I really believe, the theme of the last 2 years has been attack on the physical realm of our lives, both Dan and me, and even some of my grandkids. And that makes me really mad when he starts mm-hmm. messing with my grandkids. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I'm ready to pull out a machete or something. And yet, I know that the same truth is true in their lives, that the hard things that I get to share with them and talk to them about, because they know what I've been through. And they always ask, Amy, what do you think I should do? I mean, oh my word, my heart just skips a beat thinking about those conversations I've had with the grandkids. Mm-hmm. And so it's not just for me, it's for the people around me, the people in my family, friends. They see me going through these things. And I think the question comes to them, well, if Mary can go through it and survive it, then I can.
Okay, so for the woman who's listening, and she's in her pit, or maybe she's in the third one in a row, and she knows who God is. She has tried to make the choice to be faithful, but it feels like the hits keep coming.
Yeah.
And you've just expressed how, yes, it is difficult at times to continue in faith, to have faith. What about the woman who's saying, what if I start to wonder if God is good? Like, these things keep happening. How could he be good if these things keep happening? What would you say to her?
I would point her to three verses in Psalm that during that 2-year period of depression, God gave me right in the middle of it. Mm-hmm. And it has literally saved my life spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and even physically. It became the cornerstone for the rest of my ministry so far. Mm-hmm. And God gave it to me while I was in Colorado. Dan and I were there because I couldn't function. If I got dressed by the time my kids got home from school, it was a really good day. Mm-hmm. I could not choose items off of a menu. I would just say, honey, just choose. I couldn't go to the grocery store. Do you know how many kinds of peas there are? A gazillion. And I could not choose the right kind of peas. I don't know how many times I left a grocery cart half full and just ran to the car and burst into tears. Mm-hmm. It was that bad. And in the midst of that, God gave me Psalm 40, 1, 2, and 3, which is the basis for my book, Hope in the Midst of Depression. It's all about that. And David is writing this and saying this. And we all know the life of David. Mm-hmm. Quite a man. Yes, he blew it, but he also made things right. Mm-hmm. And God said that David's a man after his own heart. So that's what I want to be like. In Psalm 40, verses 1, 2, and 3, just listen to these promises. David is saying, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he turned to me and heard my cry. This really hit me. God turned to David. David didn't even have the strength to turn to God. Mm-hmm. And so God turned to David and gave him his full attention. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock, and he gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. So those verses, and, you know, I could teach a million lessons out of those three verses, but they have become my go-to whenever I'm struggling and I don't understand and I'm just out of faith. I have to go back and remember what God said he would do, and he'll do it again.
Okay. So those verses were amazing. And even as you were reading, like, I'm hearing it, you know, God lifted, God put, God turned, just the action of God. And so if you are listening right now and you may be driving, you may be in the grocery store with your earbuds in, I don't know where you are. So you might not be in a place where you can actually get your own Bible and open it up and look at it. But I would encourage you, when you are in a place to do that, get your Bible, open it up to Psalm chapter 40 and read those verses 1, 2, and 3, maybe read them out loud. And maybe circle or underline God's action towards David in those verses, maybe write them in a journal and then, you know, do bullet points. But I would encourage you to pore over those verses. Don't just listen to them during this, you know, few minutes of conversation with us. I would encourage you to go there and read those for yourself and let God teach you more about himself through his word in that way. Mary, thank you so much for sharing those verses, just very powerful verses as they apply to what we're talking about right now. Mm-hmm. And so two things from here that I want to ask you. One, you said that these verses really became kind of the foundation of the ministry that you now lead. And I want to get to that. But before I do, I want to just ask because we've talked about how to not just survive, but to thrive in life's storms, really it begins with making the choice for obedience. I just wondered if there were any other ingredients, if you will, or practices of thriving right. in life's storms. Like, I know that I heard you mention that you have 23 women who pray for you. I don't know if maybe that's a piece of this.
Huge piece. I tell them all the time, I wouldn't get out of bed in the morning if I did not know you were praying for me. You know, because prayer is that powerful. And anybody going through things like this needs two or three people praying for them specifically. And that's a major piece of it, Katie, is that we just saturate our life with prayer and ask others to do the same. The tendency is we as Christians really think that we should not ever fail and that we should not go through things like that. And we're very hesitant to share what we're going through mm-hmm. because it will make us look weaker. And so we have to step over pride and choose to be real. And another very important thing I discovered is that we have to choose joy. And by that, I mean, you know, joy is not the ha-ha happiness. Joy is an internal solid belief that God's in control. Now, if we look at our world today and even at our own lives, we would go, really? And he mm-hmm, is. Mm-hmm. You know, we cannot see the long picture. But even now, I can look back at all of those times when I thought, where are you, God? And see what he was doing, what he was working out for the next, to face the next trial. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to trust him, but choose joy. I've made a joy journal to do just that. And it's on my website. I made one for all women, men, whoever. But every day I looked for three places where I could see the handprints of God to sustain me or to uplift me or to bring me joy. And if we have the right definition for joy, that will happen. Just this constant belief that he is in control, no matter what I see, no matter what I hear, and certainly not what I feel. So I think prayer is huge. I think choosing joy mm-hmm. is huge. And I think standing in the word, you know, that these three verses, I cannot tell you how many times I've taught on them, how many times I've read them just for the day. But, you know, memorize the word of God. You put it in your heart and mind. When you hit those trials, the Holy Spirit will bring them to your mind mm-hmm. as a promise. So I would say offhand that those are three very important things.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I love how you gave us a practical way to choose joy with this joy journal. And so I mentioned marysutherland.com is where you can find this. Three places, like what it does, if I'm going to wake up and I'm committed to having a joy journal, I'm going to look for God's hand yes. at work, right? Yes. And it's a perspective shift. It's a game changer, if you will. Let's take it back to football. And so the two things for you, if you're listening, one, we did an episode a few weeks ago with Susie Eller on choosing joy. And so we've just touched on it here, but you can go back and listen to that and go even deeper into that subject of choosing joy. And Susie talks about some joy stealers to be on the lookout for and things like that. And then, you know, Mary, you just mentioned standing in the word. You talked about memorizing it. And we have some scriptures we just already talked about. Psalm 40, verses 1-3. And really, if you have not been listening to all of the episodes from January through April, we really tried to cover how to get God's word into the rhythms of your daily life. And so if you are tuning into this one and you're hearing what Mary has just said about standing in the word and how important it is when we're trying to thrive, even in the midst of life's storms, I would encourage you to go back over the course of the episodes through this year and find a few and listen to them and see how you can learn more about standing in the word. Mary, such great practical things that we can do, that we can begin to apply to practice, really. I know that it's not an overnight shift. It's not an overnight thing, but it can be things that we weave into our everyday life to try to do more than just survive, but also thrive in life's storms. But I just think, and I've said this, I keep wanting to come back to it. And so we're doing it now. It's amazing to me that you have not only survived, but thrived through all of these storms of life to the point that it's bloomed into a ministry, into loving and serving others. So if you could just, as we finish up, I would love to hear you talk more to that, about how all of these storms of life, God is using them, has used them and continues to use them to position you to serve others through your ministry.
I think if you look at the things that I have gone through in my life, there's just a list of them. And it occurred to me one day, I'm covering all of the things that happen to women in their lives. Infertility, being sexually molested. Our daughter was bipolar and it was terrifying. She had a baby and was not married. And I love to say she did not get the memo that pastors and pastors' wives' children should not do that. And so that little boy gave her a purpose in life. And she would tell you that justice saved her. Just all of these things. And it doesn't matter what topic I'm teaching. If I just mention two or three sentences about the infertility or the depression or our daughter, there will be women lined up to focus in on those specific things because that's what they're going through. Mm-hmm. And they desperately need somebody to say, you're going to be okay, because I am. And I always tell them to stop and look around in your situation. Isaiah 45:3 says that he will give us treasures in the darkness, you know, riches stored. And there are some things we simply cannot learn in the light. We have to go through the darkness. And those things are the most powerful things in my life, the dark truths. But again, in the Joy Journal, that's another place to do this. I mean, just one truth a day. What did God bring to mind? What is he teaching me about where I am? And just sit down and look around at your situation, as bad as it is. You can trust God and rest in the surety of the truth that he is teaching you something. He is changing you. He's preparing you for what's ahead, or he's preparing your situation for you. But God is at work. We don't have to always understand it. A lot of times I don't. And we don't have to always see it or hear it, but we can know that he's at work. I mean, right now, the air is filled with radio waves, but can we see them? No, but are they there? They're at work in our lives. And sometimes God lets me see what he's doing. Sometimes I don't have a clue, but I can trust him. I think it really comes down to that. Do we really trust him?
I'm just, I have been so blessed by what you have shared. And I love what you just said about even the radio waves, but we can't see them, but they're there. And just, I think sometimes we need that reminder that just because we cannot see it does not mean that God is not working.
And that's one of the enemy's favorite tools, is to whisper to us, well, he's not doing anything. Mm-hmm. Can't you see that? And so that's where faith comes in. That's where trust comes in.
Mary, I just thank you for being someone that that allows God to use them and that continues to press into him and to trust him so that we can be blessed. And maybe we can become women who God also uses to bless others. And so thank you. Yes. Thank you for all that you've shared today. Thank you for hanging in there with me so that we could come together and do this. And I just know that so many women will be blessed by what you've shared today. And just even the practical things that you've given us to do that we can take away and begin to apply even today, so that today can be our best day ever. Mary, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Katie, for having me. It's been a pleasure.